Have you ever wanted to teach a unit study but didn't know where to begin? Media Angels Publishing brings you four amazing studies with a focus on creation. Choose from creation science, creation astronomy, creation anatomy, or creation geology. Best of all, there are accompanying activity packs for hands-on activities and classes you can download for your children. Visit MediaAngels.com for more information. Use code RADIOPRO for 20% off. Thank you.
This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at MediaAngels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hey friends, and welcome. This is Felice Gerwitz with Vintage Homeschool Moms, and today we are going to be talking about Noah's Ark and the flood. Are you interested in learning more about this? Well, stay tuned because I have a special guest. If you want to find today's show notes, go to Noah's Flood, Fact or Fiction on VintageHomeschoolMoms.com, and this is episode 520. And today my special guest is Daniel Biddle. And we call him Dan, right? And he has a PhD. He's president of Genesis Apologetics. And it is an organization dedicated to training young pastors, parents, and students about Genesis. And so he is also involved with a movie that is coming out and is going to be in theaters on March 20th and 21st of 2004 or 24. Gosh, what year are we in? And so if you've missed this date and you're like, oh no, I missed it, we'll have information later on in the show notes about where you can find it. Welcome, Dan.
Thanks for having me on. This should be fun. I'm excited.
Yeah. So you are new to my listeners. And so tell us a little bit more about yourself than than what our bio here tells us.
Yeah, certainly. So, My background is in the behavioral sciences. That's where I got my PhD from, industrial organizational psychology specifically. And I spent about 20 years as a testifying expert in state and federal court cases dealing with research and statistics, and grew a company in that space as well. And I still manage the organization in that space, but I also work for a ministry called Genesis Apologetics, where we take a very research and very evidence-based approach to apologetics and equipping particularly students all the way from kindergarten to college on how to defend their faith with respect to the Genesis account, primarily dealing with things like creation versus evolutionism, Noah's flood, dinosaurs, and topics that relate to the early chapters of Genesis.
Wonderful. And sometimes that is a very popular topic or subject matter among, Christians, and other times it is not. So it's interesting, to hear different people's, testimonies, if you will, on what made you decide that the biblical account of creation is indeed accurate.
You know, I went through a huge metamorphosis in that area because, just by way of a quick fast forward testimony, I was saved when I was 11, backslid until I was about 17. My parents went through a divorce. I went through a rocky time as a teenager, but came back and locked into my faith when I was 17 years old. And I'd like to say I've been trying to follow Christ ever since. After that, went to seminary, got really involved with apologetics and the study of apologetics. And in seminary, they said, well, if you want to trust the Hebrew writers and the authors of the Old Testament, the 6 days have to be ordinary days. And the Genesis points to an earth that was only created thousands of years ago. But if you guys believe and trust in science, earth has to be millions of years old. So you guys go figure it out. And so that kind of sent me off into a place of what psychologists refer to cognitive dissonance. Like, how can Christ stand on God's word so firmly? Because Jesus referred back to the Old Testament over 40 times, and every time he did, it was within a literal historical narrative. And that's how he regarded scripture. But then I thought, well, then how do I reconcile science? So I really lived in this place of ambiguity and dissonance, not really knowing what to do with the Genesis account. And when I have got four kids, and when my older two kids would ask me questions like, well, Dad, what about the cavemen or mastodons, or what about evolution? And I would say, well, if Earth is young, here's an answer for you. And if Earth is old, here's a different answer for you, really speaking out of two sides of my mouth. But then about 12 years ago, I went to a talk by a current vice president, a guy named Dave Bisbee, that was about dinosaurs living with man. And I just couldn't believe that they let this guy in the four walls of a church. I'm like, I can't believe he's going to say this stuff. And I went just really as a skeptic to this talk. But about halfway through the talk, I thought, my goodness, this guy's really onto something. And yes, God did create all the creatures, and then he placed man to take dominion over all the creatures and to name all the creatures. And when man fell, then the fall introduced death and sin, and then we've got the flood, and these dinosaurs do appear to be all buried in flood layers, so maybe they were in fact living back then. And so that really set me into a curious research sprint where I took about 90 days. I'm an obsessive researcher, so it took about 3 months. I spent thousands of dollars on books and DVDs, everything I could get my hands on about dinosaurs, geology, and Noah's flood. I flew to Canada, flew to Montana, and my eyes have seen things I'll never be able to unsee. When you go to Dinosaur Provincial Park in Canada, you can look out over a 14-mile stretch as far as the eyes can see, and you're seeing tens of thousands of dead dinosaurs buried with marine life. And they're buried under 50 to 100 feet of mud. And I just had to think, well, how in the world could this have happened without a worldwide flood? And then you go to places like the Morrison Formation and look at the dinosaurs in Montana. Well, the Morrison Formation is 13 interconnected states. It spreads over 600,000 square miles, and it's filled with dead dinosaurs, again, under 50 to 100 feet of mud. And so I came away from that research experience really not somewhat convinced, but overwhelmingly convinced that the Genesis flood is a real event in history. And it was like being born again, that 18-inch gap between my head and my heart was snapped into alignment. And I allowed my roots, my faith roots, to travel all the way back to the early chapters of Genesis. And it's really solidified my faith as a Christian.
That's amazing. I mean, I was born a Christian, so cradle Catholic here. And I remember going home in seventh grade and asking, because we always learned, the biblical account of creation. My parents taught us and read the Bible, and I sat at my grandmother's feet, and she would read me, her big, huge Bible. And so, when I In seventh grade, I was at school and they're teaching us about evolution. So I went home and said to my mother, you lied to me, because I was super upset as I'm hearing this in school, because you've got this authority. Back then, kids thought the teacher was the authority. And my mother said to me, listen, she said, just answer the questions as your teacher wants them, but know this, that the Bible is true. And that was it. Like, there was no other discussion. I'm like, okay, all right, mom, and I believe that. I'm like, this is all really wrong, but I don't know what is right. And then fast forward, I met my co now co-author, who she went to be with the Lord in 2007. So anyway, she was an oil and well geologist. That was her profession, very, very highly trained. She would tell the oil and well companies where to dig for oil. I mean, she worked on, she was a research scientist. And she said there were so many things that happened, like when they were drilling down and nothing, was supposed to be all the air had dissipated, or the pressure, like these things were, they almost killed some people. And she's like, that's impossible. There can't be all this pressure in the ground at this, in our millions of years of evolution. And she talked about all these different things, but it had preceded the fact that in college, she was at the Biloxi River. She's from Texas. And she said she saw what looked like, you know, dinosaur prints and human prints. And she asked the professor, and he's like, that's an anomaly. And then she asked something else. And I remember, you know, it's in our book, but because we have a creation science study guides for kids. So there's four of them on our Media Angels website. But, you know, she was, and so anything she asked was an anomaly. And it was like, we don't know the answer to that. So don't ask the question. Let's move on. And so, you know, she even talked about carbon 14 dating and how she'd take things to the lab and they'd say, well, how old do you think this is? And then they'd give her back her data within a plus or minus 10,000 years. And she's like, I thought it was more accurate than that, you know, like, but she's a secular scientist until her faith was challenged. And she ended up losing that job, you know, energy crisis at the time. And I forget what year that was. And her only job was in a church, a Baptist church, or an evangelical. I don't remember which one. But anyway, she was a church and she ends up working in this church. And they're like handing her a Bible. Are you a Christian? No. I guess they were desperate for people. Handed her a Bible. She opens it up and she says, in the beginning, God created. She goes, all right, I have problems with the first sentence. But that took a 10-year journey of studying creation because she's like you, you know, bought every book she could borrow, you know, get her hands on, because at that point they were not financially in a good place. But she did. And so we wrote these books based on that. But I think what makes your story and her story so impactful is that you came from a place of believing or questioning, you know, whether, you know, evolution is right. You know, is it right? Are we just thinking that, you know, maybe the Bible's correct? Instead of having, and now there's so much good information out there, some bad information on, you know, on the, even in the creation world, but there are some great sources, and we're going to have some links to that in the show notes as well.
Great.
But, you know, but how did you go from that to thinking and getting into research about, well, with the flood, you just said you, you know, you went on this journey, but then also just, you know, starting your ministry, like what made you start that?
You know, I would like to say that the statement, God break my heart for what breaks yours, is really what started the commissioning of our ministry. Mm-hmm. I can also say, even as a behavioral scientist, that there were several things that happened in my life that I cannot explain away naturally. I had people, signs, dreams. I was really surrounded with a bunch of things, indicators, because God knows how to get our attention, and right. He got mine, and He got it over several weeks. And it was kind of like metaphorically, He was saying, hey son, I can keep doing this, or you can just start the ministry and we can go along this way. But I was about to have to jump into the mouth of the fish like Jonah, you know. So I did have a lot of amazing things. So I've always wondered what it would be like when people said, God called me into ministry. I would always think, well, what does that look like? And mm-hmm. then I experienced it about 12 years ago, where just a series of events that happened in my life where I did feel that God was calling me to start this ministry. And it all culminated one night when I went to the back to school night in my son's secular middle school. It was a seventh grade class. It was on world history. And I went to the class, and the teacher said, well, if you're Christian or Catholic or Jewish, don't worry about that. We just have about 2 weeks of evolution teaching we have to teach your kids, and then we go on to other things. And I was looking at her bookshelf, and she just had dozens of evolutionary books. And I was reflecting when she was saying this, that my son was saying, well, Dad, everyone's just sitting in class, even the Christians that I know, and they're just writing down everything she says about all these early man ape-like fossils and everything, and no one's questioning anything. They're being formatted like hard drives. And I got so moved after seeing what was really happening in California that I got physically sick to my stomach. I had to walk home. I just went up to my wife and said, I got to go. And I just went through a time of very solemn reflection, saying, God, this is a spiritual battle. I could do nothing in my flesh. But if you want to call me to get involved in an answer to provide Christians with light, hope, and truth, I'm here for that. And then I went through a series of just events that happened in my life where I do feel like God commissioned me to get involved in this ministry.
Wonderful. What is the link to your website? Why don't you give them the URL for that?
Yeah, just genesisapologetics.com. And we draw from a lot of the teachings from other leading creation ministries like Answers in Genesis, Creation Ministries International, the Institute for Creation Research. Our doctrinal statements are very much in alignment with all of those other leading biblical creation ministries. So we're really not offering anything new, but we offer it on video format and we offer it free. Those are two of our real distinctions as we're going after the youth. And most of our materials are free and they're available online and for people to access.
Wonderful. And on the converse side, because my kids were homeschooled and, you know, grew up with this curriculum and our ministry slash business, I never know what to call myself, but I think ministry puts too much pressure on me, Dan. Maybe that's why I'm saying.
It does. Please, me too sometimes. I know what you're saying. We're doing great though.
Right. But so my daughter was in college and she chose a secular university over another one that she had audited a class at a Catholic university. I won't say which one. And the professor was teaching, it was a theological class, but he ended up teaching something about, you know, evolution as fact, you know, God infused a soul into Adam at this point, you know, and Abraham at this point, no mention of first parents, nothing. So anyway, she went up to him afterwards and she said it was, you know, again, nobody said anything. And she went up to him afterwards and she said, well, what is your perspective on, you know, Genesis, taking, you know, the creation version literally. And he completely discounted it and said, you know, handed her a cassette tape of some teaching. Okay. So she ended up handing him a DVD from one of our, you know, ministries. and so he wouldn't discuss it with her. And she thought, you know, if I have my choice, I'm going to go to a secular university because there anything pretty much goes. So she went and her minor was in anthropology and archaeology. So her first professor, she was a communication major, started in with the evolution and was talking about carbon-14 dating. Well, we wrote a series of novels for kids that deal with the creation topic. So she looks around, same thing. Nobody is saying anything. Three other kids were homeschooled in this class that she knows came from good Christian churches, you know, and they know the same thing she does. So she raises her hand and starts disputing carbon-14 dating accurately, by the way.
That's great.
And then, you know, he brought up the argon dating. And so she had an answer for that. And he goes, great, great rebuttal there. Come see me after class. So she calls me and she says, Mom, it's my first week of school and I'm already in trouble.
so what
happened? Well, the end of the story is after 3 years, she graduated early. This professor actually came to her wedding. So she was able not quite to win him over, but to open his eyes and to understand that there was, like, maybe where you were, you know, if this is true, this could possibly happen. And so I think it's so important, parents, if you have a child who maybe is going to be graduating or who is in high school or even younger is perfect, then you really need to go check out, you know, Dan's site, because this is so important and it's great information and it, you know, it's available to us now. So Dan, you got involved with this movie, to say the least, that is coming out. And so tell us about that.
Yeah, so we've been developing it for about 3 years. It's called The Ark and the Darkness, Unearthing the Mysteries of Noah's Flood. You can find out more about the movie and get tickets and showtimes just at our website, which is noahsflood.com. It's plural, but no apostrophe S, so just noahsflood.com. And I'd like to explain the movie that it's really divided up into thirds. It is technically a documentary, but it's probably the most watchable documentary that you'll ever see, because we geared it for young students, younger meaning 10 or 11 and on up. About a third of the movie is leading experts giving testimonies, but even those interviews are done in a way that's full of intrigue and mystery. So we have 11 experts from Liberty University and Answers in Genesis giving good narrative about the science behind the flood. Then a third of the movie, my favorite part, is the high quality Hollywood level cinema photography. That's just incredible. There are scenes in this movie that have never before hit the big screen. We've got a time lapse of Noah's Ark being built. We've got the commencement of the flood, which, insider secret here, about 35 minutes into the film, don't get up and get your popcorn. When the flood commences, the next 5 minutes is groundbreaking. It's incredible. It gives me goosebumps. I watch the film 15 times. Every time I watch it, I'm like, oh my gosh, here it comes again. The music changes and
Wonderful.
it's really phenomenal. And then the last third would be what we call a three-dimensional lab room, where the viewer is taken into a very amazing animated room, and the narrator talks through different artifacts and different visual aids that talk us through the Noah's flood story. So it's a great movie, and it took us a lot of money and a lot of time to develop.
Well, hopefully, all you people listening out there are going to bring the kids and I already have my tickets, as I told Dan before
Great.
we went live. And I also have a bunch of people that we forwarded the emails, and so
Oh, wonderful.
so we've gotten big groups from church going, so that's wonderful. And so what was convinced you that the timeline of the flood was accurate? There had to be something that maybe came to mind that, or like you said, across your desk.
So I think, and this might hit some of our listeners sideways a little bit, but if I could pick one thing, I have a major one and a minor one. The minor one is carbon 14 dating, and I can spend more time on that next because you've already brought that up. But I think the number one thing would be simply this, and this is facts, and it's going to spin a lot of people's minds, but if you really drill into what I'm saying, it's exhaustively correct. 50 years ago, if you were to go to the leading paleontologists of the world, pick 100 of them, and ask them this question 50 years ago, what are dinosaur bones made of? All 100 would have said they're petrified, fully permineralized rock replacements of original bones. They would all say they're hardened rocks. Their impressions of bones. Now, 50 years later, 0 out of 100 paleontologists can make that statement. And 100 out of 100 who have studied the literature have to say that now there's 122 peer-reviewed science journals that are in secular publications like Science and Bone Histology, leading secular journals that have established that there are 16 different types of bioorganic tissues that are now discovered in dinosaur bones. So when you take the dinosaur bones that are in the uppermost layers, in the Cretaceous layers, and you cut them open and you demineralize them and put them under a microscope, they're finding things like keratin, collagen, cartilage, red blood cells, red blood vessels, and things that have no business being in bones that are supposedly 65 million years old. So it really is an ironclad case closed for evidence for creation. So these bones had to be rapidly encapsulated and sealed in mud just about 4,500 years ago. And even that is a long time for a lot of these softer tissues to live. So I think that's, for me,
That's
is the number
wonderful.
one thing. And then there's carbon dating actually also supports our perspective because the carbon 14 is still in dinosaur bones. Study after study shows when you send them in,
So how do
they
you
have
explain
carbon
that if
14.
we're billions of years old? Can you please?
Yeah, exactly. And they can't explain that either. And they've tried contamination, but you can take a bone through the most sterile processes possible, pull them up out of the ground, send them in, and they're like, yep, it's got collagen in it. And the collagen has carbon 14 and it's organic to the creature. So it again, it's just really a case closed case. Now they're trying to come out with all kind of rescuing devices and studies that might make red blood last a few years and then extrapolate out for millions of years. But for the reasonable scholar who's looked at this topic of dinosaur soft tissue, there's really no way out of it. These bones are young, and it makes a whole lot of sense that they were buried 4,500 years ago in the flood.
And to age date myself here, in 1999, Christina, my daughter, and I wrote the book Dinosaur Quest at Diamond Peak. It needs a major edit, which we're actually working on. And she was in high school, getting ready to go to college. And so in that book, that's exactly what happened. And I was in touch with some of the scientists at ICR because they reviewed our books, and you know, I actually had some of the ICR scientists. I took out some of their studies. I like to read abstracts. A weird person. I find them fascinating, and they're not 5,000 pages long for the most part. But anyway, so I used some of the research, and then I sent them to my friend. Actually, it's Frank Sherwin, who still, I believe, is at ICR. Yeah. So
he's still swinging the sword. Yeah.
Right. So Frank's, I need to get with him. I was just thinking of him the other day, but his wife was helping us edit the books. And she said, well, I'm waiting to pick up Frank. Why don't I just run this by, you know, whichever person we had used the science for. So God provided for me. I didn't have to try to email them and say, hey, could you take a look at our little rinky dink kids book here? Yeah. But and so they did. They would just read that section of it and, you know, give us anything they wanted us to change. And it was wonderful. But yeah, that was one of the things that came up in talking to, you know, the Sherwins, that was something that had just come across. And the poor lady, whoever was the first one to discover the red blood cells, you know, she had to try to backpedal because she was getting crucified over that by her colleagues. And she did. She came up with a couple of not retractions. Yeah, but just more like, well, we have to look into it further because it's an anomaly. You know, I love the word anomaly.
Well, that anomaly is everywhere now, which is amazing. They're finding that. And she was even trying to publish one of those papers, and the reviewer said, no, there's no way we're going to publish this. And she said, well, what type of data would convince you? And the reviewer said, nothing. There's no way that you can be finding blood. And
what was her name? Do you remember the scientist?
Mary Schweitzer.
Okay.
Yeah, Dr. Mary Schweitzer. Yeah. And she's probably the most prominent researcher in the field. Now, ICR has Brian Thomas, who has his PhD in paleobiochemistry, which is a PhD in dinosaur soft tissue, basically. And he's the one who's just done a lot of the latest cutting edge research on this. And he now has a list of the 122 peer-reviewed science journal articles that have substantiated these 16 different types of bioorganics that are found in bones.
So when people say, well, if you're part of a creationist ministry, you just really must be uneducated, as I've been, you know, I've been told that, you know, you must not have gone to college. And I said, no, I did, which is irrelevant. You know, I have a teaching degree, which is not, you know, but it's just, why would you even think that? Because you cannot be intelligent and have a creationist perspective. Wow.
It's a spiritual battle, ultimately. I mean, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of the unbelievers so they can't see the light of the gospel of Christ. And that's exactly where this is stemming from. It's not a matter of intelligence or will. It's ultimately a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual phenomenon.
Right. Because what's the alternative? Well, is there anything else you'd like to let the audience know, Dan, either about the ministry, the movie, you know, just some last thoughts?
Yeah, some last thoughts would be our currency for this movie is not cash, it's views. So ultimately, we just want eyes on screen. Mm-hmm. And I can honestly say, and this is not a pitch, that after seeing this movie 15 times on different screens, the best way to see it is in the big screen with 5.1 sound channels and big, huge screen and everything like that. Get a good seat.
Wonderful.
Because there's about 15, 20 minutes of this film that you just really want to see it on a big screen. But if you can't, watch it on streaming a cable that will come out. And if you can't do that, watch it on YouTube free that will come out in maybe 5 or 6 months. So it's a ministry tool. Bring a friend, bring skeptics, but be prepared to dialogue about the flood according to how it laid out in Genesis chapter 6-9.
Wonderful. Very riveting. And so now I'm going to make sure that my daughter and that whole homeschool group know about it. I've sent it to her, but I'm going to send a reminder. So, you know, if you're listening to this, take some friends and go to the movie. If you, you know, didn't get to see it, I believe there's a 30-day blackout that you said after the movie. Yeah,
there is. Yeah. And then it'll be on streaming, you know, like Xfinity and Dish Network and things like that after that for 90 days. And then
wonderful. Okay. So friends, you know, let's go support really good content, you know, something you can, even if I'm going to put this out there, even if you don't believe in a creationist account, what will it hurt to go see this movie? It will be entertaining, if nothing else. And, you know, it would be something fun to take the kids to, you know, clean content and all that. It's very hard to find these days, Dan. So, yes. Friends, you can find the show notes for today's episode. Go to vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. Look for episode 520, Noah's Flood, Fact or Fiction. Thank you so much, Dan, for being my guest today.
Sure. Thanks for having me on. This was fun.
All right. Bye-bye.
Great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I want to introduce you to my publishing company, Media Angels. I have a heart for homeschool families, and since 1994, I have poured my efforts into creating curriculum to support teaching science, especially from a creationist worldview to the homeschool community. My curriculum was selected by Kathy Duffy in her 101 Top Homeschool Picks. Another Labor of Love is a three-book novel series specifically for homeschoolers with a creation focus, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series that I co-authored with my daughter Christina. Media Angels represents uncompromising quality, not only with books, but with an online homeschool convention and this ultimate homeschool radio network with amazing show hosts. Along with books, Media Angels has produced an American History and an American Government video series, as well as a family Bible study, Homeschooling with Proverbs. It has been my pleasure to mentor countless homeschool families and missionaries worldwide. I also enjoy mentoring aspiring authors with one-on-one coaching and the Information in a Nutshell series. If we haven't met, please reach out. I'd love to help you on your homeschooling journey, or if you have a book, help you getting that into print. I can be found on social media and look forward to meeting you. You can reach me at mediaangels.com. Thanks so much, and hope to meet you soon.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at mediaangels.com and thevintagehomeschoolmoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.